Immigration advocates in Michigan are decrying a federal judge's ruling striking down two presidential orders protecting millions of immigrants from deportation. Last November, President Obama announced two programs that were set to take effect today. One would prevent undocumented parents of children legally living in the U.S. from being sent back to their countries of origin. The other extends protections for undocumented immigrants who arrived in the U.S. as children. Late Monday in Brownsville, Texas, U.S. District Court Judge Andrew Hanen ruled those programs violated some administrative requirements and issued an injunction against them. The ruling could affect some 5 million people here in the United States. We welcome two guests to talk about the judge's action. Joining me in the studio, Max Anguiano. Max coordinates the Civil Rights for Immigrants Task Force for the group Action of Greater Lansing. Welcome, Max.
Thank you.
Also on the phone, Susan Reed, the managing attorney with the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center based in Kalamazoo. Hello, Susan.
Hi, good morning.
I take it, Max Anguiano, we'll start with you. I take it some number of undocumented immigrants you know and work with were planning to pursue the new opportunities that were scheduled to begin today. That obviously has changed. How are Greater Lansing's undocumented immigrants that you work with responding to this?
Well, it's really, they're responding not good to it. They, as you know, they were, the program was scheduled to take effect today. And this weekend, we were planning an informational session to let the immigrants know what exact paperwork they had to have, documents they had to have. And then 2 weeks, we were going to plan a clinic. So we were going to put, we had four immigration lawyers were going to be at that clinic, and we were going to put the applicants through the process of putting their application in.
But the people you work with are basically, they're more in a state of limbo now than they were before.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah. You know, of course, we all know the preceding DACA is still in effect, you know, but the new DACA was extended to a larger base of immigrants. So those immigrants are not able to put their application in now.
Yeah, it was DACA Plus and a program nicknamed DAPA. That we're talking about here that were impacted by Judge Hanen's ruling. President Obama's November order has been in the news regularly ever since November. Of course, many Republicans and indeed a few Democrats as well maintain President Obama has exceeded his authority here to determine immigration policy. Given this dispute, Max, did Judge Hanen's ruling surprise you, or were you half anticipating something like this?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people were anticipating something. And he's a Republican judge, and we had heard that there was a lot of pressure from Congress, the Republican-led Congresses, both Congresses, to get a judge to pass this decision to fight the DACA and the DAPA.
Susan Reed, what about you? Were you at all anticipating this development?
Actually, we were anticipating it. You know, Texas is the lead plaintiff in this lawsuit, but Judge Hanen was, I think it's pretty clear, chosen because of commentary that he's made in other opinions. It's clear that the plaintiff thought his courtroom would be the most favorable. And actually, you know, one of the surprising things to me was how narrow his ruling really was. You did a great job in the introduction of pointing out that the ruling focuses on a technical legal violation of what's called the Administrative Procedures Act, which has to do with when the government makes a rule, whether they have to go through what's called a notice and comment process. The administration maintains that this is an exercise of their discretion and it's not formal rulemaking. But that's a very legalese way of saying that what Judge Hanen did not do is make any comment on whether or not the program was constitutional or whether the president exceeded his authority in the way that Congress is characterizing it. So this ruling was really limited to this potential Administrative Procedure Act violation.
You view it as a technicality. Then
it's a very narrow ruling, and I think that is a strong indicator that ultimately the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, which include the state of Michigan, by the way, Attorney General Bill Schuette joined the state of Michigan. The state of Michigan is a plaintiff in this lawsuit. But I think the narrowness of the ruling was viewed by most legal scholars as an indicator that that ultimately this is likely not likely to be resolved in favor of the plaintiffs. We feel pretty confident about that.
We're talking about a federal judge's ruling blocking two immigration programs that were set to take effect today in the U.S. Our guests are Susan Reed, managing attorney for the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center in Kalamazoo, and Max Anguiano also joins us. Max coordinates the Civil Rights for Immigrants Task Force for Action of Greater Lansing. Let's back up just a little bit and spend a minute or two, Susan Reed, on just what DACA did and what the proposed DAPA ruling also did. Remind us, DACA goes back a couple of years, 2012. Briefly remind us what that order allowed.
That's right. DACA was not actually an executive order, and neither are these actions, but an administrative decision by the president to essentially deprioritize for deportation young people who had come to the U.S. before the age of 16, had a clean criminal record, and met an education requirement. So people who came to the U.S. as children. Sometimes folks are known as dreamers. There's been legislation pending for over a decade in every Congress that would benefit folks who really came to the U.S. as children and have lived here all their lives and, you know, really completed sort of the social contract, right? Going to school, staying out of trouble. So DACA created, DACA allowed them to have relief from deportation for a temporary period and have work authorization. I did just want to add that in 2012, the state of Mississippi challenged the legality of that program in a case very similar to this lawsuit, and there, their case was dismissed because the Mississippi's argument that they would have some kind of economic hardship was dismissed as being purely speculative. So standing is really going to be an issue in this case going forward.
Susan, I may ask you to just give us a little background on DAPA as well here in just a minute, but I want to bring Max Anguiano back into the conversation. Max, how many immigrants in the greater Lansing area may be affected by this injunction?
You know what? I don't know exactly. We know there's about it. There was a over 110,000 undocumented immigrants in the state of Michigan, but I can't really give you a figure on how many in the Lansing area would be affected. Thousands. There is thousands. There's no doubt about that.
Thousands in the greater
there's
Lansing
thousands.
Area.
There's no doubt about that.
What does this mean for those people, for the immigrants who may have benefited from the programs that were set to begin today? What is your group telling them, or doing for them?
We're telling them to not worry. We think we're pretty sure we're gonna win this battle. As Susan was saying, that the federal courts have stated before that immigration is a federal issue, and the administration does have rights to insert executive orders into the for the family for the. For the immigration system, but these immigrants are they're worried right now. But we're telling them, don't worry, that we're going to win this battle. Get your paperwork ready, and we will. You will be able to put your DACA paperwork in as soon as the lawsuit is settled.
But are they more at risk of deportation than they would have been?
Sure. Yeah, they are definitely. Yeah, because this the new DACA would have protected them from deportation for 3 years. You know, if they have met all the requirements, as Susan was saying, passed a background check, met the school requirements and everything else, they would have been protected from deportation for 3 years. You know, but of course they're not. They're not now. You know.
Susan Reed, let's bring you back in here and go a little bit deeper with us on DAPA. What would the DAPA order have done?
Sure. So the Deferred Action Program for Parents of U.S. Citizens and Lawful Permanent Residents, or DAPA, as we're calling it. We love to make acronyms in immigration law. It's an alphabet soup.
Everybody. I think everybody loves to make acronyms.
It was designed to benefit undocumented individuals living in the United States who are parents of U.S. citizens or permanent residents who've lived in the U.S. continuously since January 1st, 2010, and who, as of November 20th, 2014, had a son or daughter who's a U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident. And our understanding is that that could be an adult or a child. And are not an enforcement priority for removal from the United States. So that really encompasses all your folks with criminal background of any significance, folks who maybe have a certain type of history of immigration violations, maybe, you know, some other things. There's a long memorandum that folks can take a look at if they're real immigration law nerds. It's right up on uscis.gov.
We're talking about a federal judge's ruling blocking two immigration programs that were set to take effect today here in the United States. Our guests, Susan Reed, managing attorney for the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center in Kalamazoo, and Max Anguiano of Action for Greater Lansing. He coordinates the Civil Rights for Immigrants Task Force there. We've heard conservatives routinely say that the president's orders allow people who, strictly speaking, are here illegally to receive driver's licenses, Social Security, tax credits, past tax refunds, and other benefits. Clearly, a lot of people are lined up against that. How do you respond, Susan Reed, to people who say that is too much for people who are ultimately in the United States illegally?
You know, I think there is such broad consensus that our immigration system is broken, and I travel around the state talking to people about how the immigration system works to just looks of shock. You know, the fact that for most people who are undocumented in the U.S., it's not a question of get in line. There is no line to get in. A family-based application for a sibling of someone from the Philippines, for example, they are processing cases from 1990 as of today. For most people who have who entered the U.S. without inspection, who initially entered the U.S. unlawfully, there are very limited abilities for anyone in that situation to legalize their status, even if they're an essential worker, even if they're the spouse of a U.S. citizen, even if they're the parent of a U.S. citizen. And I think most people just don't understand that that's the reality of our system. But people living in and integrated with immigrant communities understand that that's the reality and see families torn apart on a regular basis and see the impact of people living excluded from our community, which really has a negative impact on us all, both, you know, culturally and economically. What we want to work toward is inclusion. In terms of the legal authority, this type of legal authority, the authority to engage in deferred action, has been used, I believe, by every president. It was used by President Bush after Hurricane Katrina to benefit international students who went out of status when their schools closed. It was used by President Reagan to great effect when large groups of people were left out of protection by Congress. And it just clearly created an unacceptable humanitarian situation, and Congress came back and added folks in. I could just go on and on. Legal scholars are in broad consensus about the legality of the action on both sides of the aisle, and so I think the opposition to this program is primarily political.
And I want to ask both of you what you anticipate next. You expect further legal action here, Max Anguiano?
Sure, yeah, we know it's going to go. It sounds like it's going to go to the Supreme Court.
Okay. And an appeals court ruling in the meantime, Susan Reed?
Indeed. The Fifth Circuit, the Justice Department indicated that they would appeal any injunction immediately to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So it may or may not stand there, but certainly whoever loses there will probably appeal to the Supreme Court, so that's possibly on the table. But given the number of people whose lives are potentially really radically affected here and who are being jerked around, I think we could expect the Supreme Court to act pretty quickly. We won't be waiting till the October term.
We want to thank both of our guests. Susan Reed is the managing attorney for the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center in Kalamazoo. Max Anguiano coordinates the Civil Rights for Immigrants Task Force for Action of Greater Lansing. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.